Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Semi-fascist.
Semi-fascist. We heard that. Pull the mic about an inch closer. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. John Shipman and I have already cured unknown diseases and feed the poor. Next, we have to try to get this country back together again. That might not be doable.
It's going to be a challenge. We were just talking about that. Locally, it doesn't seem to be the issue, even in Harrisburg. And, you know, Harrisburg gets testy at election time. But usually they can come together and get things done in Harrisburg. But Washington's just totally out of control. And when you vilify someone who just because they disagree with you, you know, we're all entitled to our own opinion. And I know that, you know, people might think my opinion is wrong. They're entitled to think that I'm wrong, you know, and I shouldn't be upset about that. Now, if they call me nasty names, that hurts. You know, that there's no need to
Well, you're only a semi-fascist.
I'm a semi-fascist. Is that sort of like semi-pregnant?
You're kind of on the fascist side. Yeah, John, any of your friends ever call you that during your coffee breaks?
No, yeah, and I have friends, Democrats and Republicans, and we have coffee, and we disagree about stuff, but we're still friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it's hatred. It's you know, ideas are what really shape any society, and ideas are important, and ideas are debatable.
It's like the Green New Deal. You know, within the Green New Deal, there were like 20 different proposals that had quite a few things in it. But two of them were perfect, and everybody could have agreed to them if they didn't come through on this clump of, this idea of putting everything into the same package and doing it all at the same time.
Well, and, you know, I don't know anybody that really believes that we should pollute our environment and destroy our country. You know, a lot of real conservative people are outdoors people and so forth, and they're very careful about what they do when they're out in the woods and so forth. You're a hunter. You know, these guys carry their stuff back out. They don't just throw it on the ground and so forth. And so, you know, we're all concerned about the environment. But I think the rub is how far do we restrict our economy? How far do we penalize ourselves when China's building hundreds of new coal-fired power plants? You know,
that's a talking point.
Our leaders have said.
I mean, it's true. But
it's true. Right. And our leaders have said that if the United States emissions went to zero, it wouldn't be enough.
So, right. It would just sort of stop where we are. Well, to be continued, folks, we are now on the Mark. It's sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. We're talking about what's it going to take to glue our country back together again. I don't know how I came across it, maybe some sort of an epiphany, but I think the issue is our ego. I think I'm right. I know I'm right. You might be somewhat right, but you're not as right as me. And that's the issue. I think it all goes back to that.
Well, I think if it stopped there, it would be good. But now, instead of saying you may be partial, you're right. You're an idiot, or you're a fascist, or
right.
Just because you don't agree
or
with me.
Liar. Right. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We have John Shipman here. He would just love to see good government. He's brought to us real advocacy and guests related to the Convention of States, which could, you know, our country is so screwed up. I don't think that Convention of States would be helping us climb up climb up out of the hole about halfway, but we would still have a long way to go. But yeah, we have to restore some sort of a positive dialogue. We would love love to hear from you today on these ideas. What do we got to do? I know one thing we have to fix. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we have got to restore confidence in elections. Whether we have early voting or not, I used to say, oh, no, we have to keep early voting. You know, one of our callers this week suggested we just get rid of early voting and somehow mandate accurate counting of votes on an election day, even if it has to be a national holiday. Get her done so that we have confidence in the elections again. You know, I think that would go a long way. So, all right, well, we're going to talk about these ideas. We would invite you to participate in our conversation. We got one guy standing by, Stan. He's ready to go, so we're going to put him on the radio shortly. John Shipman is my co-host, fine local businessman, a good faith leader around here, just a super guy. Hasn't forgotten anything as near as I can tell in 60 years or something. Is that true?
Well, I've forgotten a lot of things, okay. But I try to remember. It's
but you have a good memory. Bottom line, you and Joe both, even on your worst days, are 20 times remember things more than I do. So on the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Participate in our discussion, really talking about digging ourselves out of the abyss and making sure that we have some import at keeping this country together. I don't think we're falling apart. I don't think we're going to have a civil war. I don't think we're all going to disappear. But we're certainly not getting good government. Our Congress is, I would just say they're underperforming, but they're misperforming. Our administrations are overperforming. Our courts are in charge of the world today, which is just crazy.
Every branch of our government has overstepped its constitutional bounds. Every branch. The courts, Congress, and the presidency all are out of control.
What has Congress overdone? I always think of them as underperforming, only because I obsess with, you know, budgets, balanced budgets. But
well, that's a big thing. They allocate money. They spend money that they don't have. They fudge things to make it look like it's going to be paid for when they know it's not going to be paid for. Mm-hmm. And so they tell us, well, oh, this is going to be paid for, how this and this and this and what we're going to do. But it never works out that way. We just keep getting deeper in debt. When Barack Obama came into office, our national debt was $10 trillion. That's 2010, right?
Okay. All right. Yep.
2010. So in 12 years, okay, in 13 years now, we have tripled our federal debt. We're $31 trillion and counting.
And absolutely no breaks on it. That's the other thing. You know, 31 is just trivia because tomorrow it's going to be 32 and then next week it'll be 33.
You can't even comprehend. Normal people cannot comprehend $31 trillion. That's 31,000 billion. What does that mean? It's just a number.
Well, that didn't clarify.
Didn't clarify.
All right, let me finish the intro. We'll get folks involved in this. We're talking about our busted government, folks. And really, when the government's busted, the country's busted because we put them there. There isn't a single individual in Washington, D.C. who isn't there but through us. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Stan, thank you so much for waiting while we set the scene here. You're welcome to join in our conversation, or maybe there's something else on your idea, your mind. It is an Open Phones Friday.
Two words. Well, maybe it's three. Let's see. God save. Four words. God save the Queen. Okay, now I'm done with that.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, she lived a long life, and you know, feel sorry for her family because you know she died. She was a patriarch of the family, or it was a matriarch.
Matriarch.
Female.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so but that's over and done with. You know, they'll, you know, what's his name? Charles is the king now, so whatever. John, you're wrong. Biden says we're going to reduce the deficit by $1.5 trillion. He keeps spouting that number. I'm not sure how that happens when we're spending more money than we have and just printing it.
Well, I think that goes into the things that they say. They say that they know they won't work, even though they say they will.
Yeah, I think that what happens is Congress tells us and the president tells us, just not this president, but the president tells us, oh, we're going to pay for this. The last time we paid anything down on the deficit, Bill Clinton was president. Think about that.
Yeah, and I'm not even... Are we even sure it happened then?
We did. For two or three years in the late... Keep in mind, the late 90s were an economic boom time. The economy was just going gangbusters. Government had scaled back some of the social benefits to encourage people to go to work. The economy was booming. People were working. It was a good time. And for two or three years in the late 1990s, we actually reduced the deficit. We haven't done it since.
Right. Well, you know, that's all by design, I think. You know, we got a bunch of globalists down there in D.C. and across the country, and you know they're part of the globalist elites. You know, everybody says, "Well, that's conspiracy theory," but you know, if you look at the World Economic Forum, you know, all these people go there. You see John Kerry there. Biden hasn't made there because he can't stand up for 5 minutes to give a speech to him. You know, they just tell him what to do. That's what it seems to be. You know, you got Newsom and you got the Canadian Prime Minister Doe. They're all part of this. You know, and what is the goal of the leftist elites? They want to control the food supply, they want to control energy, and they want to control transportation. So what happens then? They control the people. Because when people are hungry, they look to the government for relief, for help.
Stan.
Control the energy. When people are freezing in the winter, who are they going to look towards? They're going to look for the government to help them.
Stan. Who are the leftist elites?
Yes, Mark. Huh?
Who are the leftist elites, and how do they wish to control those things, and why?
Control the people. Look at what's going on in California right now because of what they've been doing over the years in the name of climate change. The people out there can't charge their electric vehicles, which you're told they need to have because we're going to outlaw gas vehicles by 2035, according to Mr. Newsom. So, but they can't charge them because... Oh, we don't have enough electricity because we shut down our plants, power plants, because of global climate change. All right? That's what's going on. And then you got a bunch of yahoos down there in D.C. You got Pelosi. I don't know how, you know, you never hear much about Schumer's finances, but Pelosi's made millions off of her position. And it's not just Democrats. You got, what's his name? McConnell. Yeah, McConnell. He's the same way. His wife's a Chinese, you know, her family's Chinese shipping, and she's got that here. And McConnell gets money from the Chinese. They all do. So they're all working together to try to control people.
So it's not just elites, leftist elites. It's elites, elites.
It's
which
the elite.
Is what
it's the Davos
John told me a month ago.
It's the Davos people, and I agree with that. Klaus.
Schwab
is the leader of this. But the reason they need to weaken the United States is because if you have a superpower like the United States, you can't control that country. So their goal, starting with George H.W. Bush's New World Order speech, is to sort of level the playing field. And so we have had governments, one after the other, that have espoused that where the United States should just be one among a group and not the superpower. And in order to do that, they have made all kind of promises on the climate, giving money to, you know, if we looked at the amount of money that the federal government has pledged in all these treaties to give to other countries, it's astounding. And yet, you know, it's all done sort of quietly. And I agree with Stan, you know, the Republicans aren't any better than the Democrats at doing this stuff. It's, yeah, they go to Washington, D.C., and they are a poor bartender, and 10 years later, they're multi-millionaires. And we just wonder how that works when you're making $147,000 a year in Washington.
Which is way too much anyway, but that's another topic.
Right. And that's, you know, you know, Trump went over to Davos, I think it was in 08, or no, 18, maybe, somewhere in there, and he gave a speech, and it wasn't a speech that they agreed with. And you heard speeches from, like, Soros and stuff saying that Trump is a dangerous man, he needs to be removed, because he didn't go along with their plan. That's one reason why Trump is not in office, because he stood against them for the American people. It was America first, not world first. That, and remember, he told the Germans when he was over there in the NATO meeting and stuff, stop buying Russian energy, fuel, gas, because they can turn it off at any time. And what has happened last week and this week? They turned it off indefinitely to Europe. What's going to happen to them poor people in the winter because of the decisions of their leaders?
Well, Stan, I'd just like to tag along on that. You know, MAGA is Make America Great Again. It has become almost a curse word, but it is that slogan is in direct response to the globalists who would make America weak. And Donald Trump disagreed with that. They laughed at him over at Davos. The Germans laughed at him about the energy. And of course, a lot of what he said is coming true. So, but you know, MAGA has become a dirty word. But I believe that any leader of any country is obligated to do what he can to make that country strong and prosperous. And if every leader of every country did that, we would have a lot of prosperous countries, and we would be more able to talk to one another. But, you know, America has been, over the last 20 years, virtually the only country. I mean, these other countries are just running their governments are running their countries right into the ground.
All right, Stan, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
Yeah, buy your generators for when we run out of electricity for around here. But then we may not have gas either, so, you know, I don't know what you do at that point when your generator runs out of gas and you have no electricity.
How about
what
a coal
do we
stove?
Do in the middle of the winter, Mark?
Coal?
How about a coal stove?
Yeah, but most of those need, well, yeah, you can get the old pot-bellied, I guess, and fire that up and that the heat. But, you know, most even modern stoves, even if they're cool or whatever, still need electricity to run properly.
Right. I used to boast, don't worry, I got it covered. I have a natural gas boiler in the basement, which does domestic water also, so I'm good. If gas runs out, I have a heat pump that'll heat the whole house. And then, of course, now Stan comes along and says, but what if there's no electricity? Neither of those will work. I have a small generator, but I don't think it'll do the whole house. Although I can hook the F-150, they have me drive it now, has a power, and it has a subsequent generator, not the V8. It has a generator, yeah. So we got it covered with the F-250. Okay, Stan.
Either way, you need fuel to operate.
Well, that's true. Yep, we're going to need the gasoline at some point, somewhere. Okay, yeah, we are. I can go chop down a tree and feed it to the F-250? No, it doesn't work that way. All right,
well,
thank you, Stan.
Well, you use wood gas, so maybe.
Yeah, there you go, but not in one day. All right, thank you, sir.
No.
Thanks for checking in. Stan, our good caller from Danville, checks in, and we would love to hear from everybody today. We got a lot of regular callers, and we've had some new callers lately. We're talking about our busted government, and we would just love for you to be on board. I always point the finger at Washington and or Harrisburg and say that they are busted. But it is, if you want to go to know how they got there, go to the nearest mirror, and that's how they get there. That's how they stay there. That's why they are there. You know, you see all the behavior of local good state representative in many ways, Fred Keller, but went to Washington and just totally got sucked into the vortex and stopped talking to the local regional media. And, of course, I'm 100% firmly behind President Trump and, you know, to the exclusion of others. So, and Dan Muser does the same thing. He's got the Republican talking points in his shirt pocket. So, your view on this, folks, call us now. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, welcome on board, everybody. We're talking about our body politic. What can we do to glue ourselves back together? You had said off mic before we even started, we have to stop talking past each other.
Yeah, you know, when you talk to someone, take you and your wife, me and my wife, okay? You start to have a discussion, which turns into an argument. At some point, you're not really talking to each other anymore. You're talking at each other or even past each other because the other one at this point has just shut down completely, and you're an idiot, and they realize you're an idiot.
It doesn't happen at my house.
You know? So that's what we need to try to get away from and have a civil conversation on the issues, not on personalities. We're all crackpots. We're all wackos at times. We all do stupid stuff at times. Everybody can point to John Shipman and say, boy, he's a wacko. He did this or he did that. I made my share of mistakes over my life, okay? And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I try to defend a position that later on I think, you know, that wasn't a very smart thing to do. So I even recognize that sometimes when I really analyze what I'm advocating for, maybe I'm been too dogmatic on that. So, but we need to have that kind of discussion with each other where we can sit down and debate, vigorously debate, you know, the issues. But once it turns from, you know, I had heard a really good little ditty a long time ago. It said, big people talk about ideas. Average people talk about things. Little people talk about people. And, you know, this feeding the background of, well, he's a horrible person because he did this and or she said that and so forth. You know, we're all horrible people when it comes down to that, really. There isn't anybody that's righteous. So we need to understand that we need to talk about issues. Let's debate them. Let's let the debate be vigorous, but let's not get into the vilification of people.
Maybe you see this a lot in high school or college debates. People will switch sides, so the ego goes out of it. You know, they lose this ability to say, well, I'm Republican, and I favor keeping the minimum wage where it is and not borrowing any more money for the national debt, because that's the way I feel, and that's my personal view. They have to argue the other way. I remember once, this would be about 10 years ago, Professor Rosu was here, and he says, you know, overspending isn't the end of the world. Of course, the debt was $10 trillion at the time, and overspending beyond the national debt was really just becoming something kind of structural, I think he called it, you know, saying that it's built into the budget. It's nothing. It's not that big a deal as long as you have boom times coming where you can start to pay down and you have sort of a disciplined approach to it. But now we do $3-4 trillion at a time, all at one time for one bill.
Well, and in a former day, when interest rates were 1%, 0.5%, and so forth, that $10 trillion or $20 trillion, the United States was paying around 8 or 9% of our annual budget in interest. Okay, so if you're a bondholder, you're happy with that because you're getting a government check. But what happens when interest rates go to 4% on $30 trillion? Now we're going to be at 15 or 16% of the national budget just to pay the interest.
So the whole country could be upside down.
So at some point, that discussion becomes moot because now the debt is so high that we can't afford to pay the interest. So now you're a bondholder. You've got a couple $10,000 U.S. Treasury bonds, and they're paying you 3 or 4%. And all of a sudden, the government says, "Well, we're going to print more money now that we're paying you 3% on your bond, but it's only worth 1% or 0.5% because we've inflated the cost so much." So that there's a fallacy in that it does matter. Does it matter if it's a little bit? No. Does it matter when we tripled the debt in 13 or 14 years? Yes, it matters.
Yeah, then, well, and plus it's not, I'm going to misquote it, but it's not structural overspending. It's deliberate imbibing from our great-great-grandchildren, but they aren't going to be able to pay. I mean, let's suppose we wanted to pay off the debt. I mean, it would take 30 years.
Well, you know, and the reason we're in the financial situation we're in as far as the economy is concerned, and why we're looking at a potential recession, and the red lights are flashing. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what people say, try to put a happy face on it. At some point you have to pay the fiddler. And so potentially we're going to see interest rates go to 4%. That's what the feds are shooting for. When the interest rates go to 4%, and the economy slows down even further, and the M2 money supply, M2 is the value of money in cash, checking accounts, savings accounts, and money market funds that are held by individuals. That has not increased since February.
All right, we're going to take a CBS break. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
And John Shipman, fine Sunbury resident and business person, very active community volunteer, one of the founding members of SPARC, back when it wasn't a committee that would meet and utilize other people's funds and try to make things happen. Jesse Woodring and Jan Tippett and Roger Haddon and some other, and maybe three or four.
Carl Phillips was on that. We had about 10 or 12 of us that met to try to...
Would make things happen.
Do good things. Right.
Right, and would utilize what folks in Sunbury began to know as the Jesse Woodring Savings Account. That was really just for the city to make things happen that there was no taxpayer money for. So, yeah, what a good, quiet leader that was. We can always use those kind of leaders. Too bad he never went to Washington at any point in his career. You know, if he could stay that sort of free-thinking, independent, most of the time listening leader, we could have used him.
Yeah, I think that Jess had a lot of good ideas, and so did the rest of the committee. And we would banter things around and evaluate, you know, is this something that we can realistically put together? Is this something that we can, you know, try to get some help with and so forth? Pretty bright people in that group and pretty dedicated people in that group. It was a fun thing to do.
Right, yeah. Folks really dedicated and using their time and treasure to make things happen. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Do please go to sunburymotors.com. I haven't been on the Sunbury Motors website in almost 3 hours, but it is just wonderful. F-250, it's got a generator on board and a couple of AC outlets in the back. It's got a DC outlet. In case you come across one of your good friends who has a battery-operated vehicle and they have the DC3, that's called, and they need a charge, you can give them 8 hours of charge in about 20 minutes. And so it's quite the truck. So I would invite you to do what I do. Drive around, go R when you see your friends and show off this truck, which actually has a lot of actual capability, I will add. SunburyMotors.com. Toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We've been talking about the nation that I'm using the reference that it's fallen into an abyss and that we need to get out of it. But we just deserve better government, and that's really what it boils down to. I don't think we're really going to fall apart. I'm sure democracy, and of course every time we invite him, Dr. Soyka sits over there in that chair and says, no, this is just us getting better and better. You know, this might be a bump, but it's just a bump. You know, pretty soon we'll be back in the smooth. So, all right, so that's what we're talking about, our nation, our body politic. Can we talk to each other and do some some active listening associated with that. Who would be our next president that might be a good leader for the U.S.? Could the U.S. Congress eventually step up and actually do their job? Could the president actually not do too much, which they're not supposed to be doing? Or could the U.S. Supreme Court stand down and let the legislature and the president actually run the government? These are the questions we're talking about. We're trying to get out of the malaise that we're in and get into some good government. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company, again, call us now if you have some ideas how to do this. I suggested we go back to an election day, which I think could really change things. This popped into my head while I was speaking, but if somebody once said it should be a national holiday, let's do it. Okay, if that's what it takes, if that's the compromise, let's do it. All right, but you could do real absentee ballots for soldiers and people who just plain, like Ben Reichley, are out of town in Atlanta on business on that day, that kind of thing. So, all right. 1-800-795-9565. What can we do? You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. John Shipman is my co-host, but we would love to hear from you today. Some very brief news headlines. A training facility for firefighters and a shooting range for law enforcement has been proposed on the campus of the Northumberland County Prison. County Commissioner Joe Clebon made the proposal recently during the prison board meeting, says they have the acreage for it. Volunteer firefighters in the region generally have to travel 20 to 30 miles in order to practice and do their training. A shooting range would be for the sheriff's department, to the staff at the prison, county police, meaning the municipal police departments that are in Northumberland County, and probation officers and others. So stay tuned for more references to that. And this is proof that Matt Cotrillo didn't talk this into the copy, says Joe Clebon, along with Clint Herr and the public safety director, Steve Jeffries. So he says he, her, and Jeffries. It sounds like at the bottom of a letter these days, you know. Everybody's pronoun is down there. Anyway, Pennsylvania's financial picture. The state government, unlike the federal government, state government is in the black.
The Department of Revenue reports that for the month of August, general fund revenues in Pennsylvania totaled $2.9 billion, $2.3 million above the anticipated amount. 2 months into the new fiscal year, the state is already running a surplus of $60.5 million. The three largest sources of revenue are the sales, corporate, and personal income taxes. For the month of August, sales tax revenues were above the anticipated rate, while collections of the income and corporation taxes came in just short of their anticipated totals.
I'm David Payne, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And finally, I don't know if this is a humorous story or if this is a depressing story. Associated Press reporting today, the amount of uncollected tolls on the Pennsylvania Turnpike grew by 50% last year, and a new government audit is urging the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission to address the problem and make changes, following up on its internal study that said more than $104 million in tolls went uncollected last year. The State Auditor General Tim DeFore's audit says, no, the number is actually $155 million per year. Nearly $1.5 billion in tolls was paid or expected to be paid during the one-year period from April 2021 to March of this year. Losses had been anticipated after the Turnpike converted from all cash collections in 2020, laying off hundreds of toll collectors and auditors. Many vehicles began using EasyPass, a device that collects toll information and charges drivers, but allows many motorists, about 10% estimated motorists, drive for free. Either the turnpike cameras don't pick up their easy pass, can't read their license plates, or the individuals in many cases have deliberately obscured their license plate. So imagine that it's a dilemma for you to solve at your house or something. You're missing $155 million.
It's crazy, and they certainly had to anticipate that there would be some glitches. EasyPass, probably more and more people get EasyPass now, but there's probably 50 or 60% of the people that don't have EasyPass, because unless you're on the turnpike or another toll road on a regular basis, why do you want to have that? So what happens is that the they try to read your license plate. Well, if you put one of those dark plastic things over it, or the license plate old and faded and so forth, the cameras can't read it correctly. And then besides that, once they get that, somebody has to process out and send you a bill, and you have to write a check and send it back. It's a laborious process. I guess that the savings in salary and benefits had to offset that, but $155 million seems like a lot.
Yeah, it does. They also turned up $3.2 million in free travel for Turnpike employees and free trips for Turnpike contractors and consultants worth about $6 million throughout this period. So, and the beauty of this, the good news at the end, is the Turnpike only has $13 billion in debt now. So before 18th Street Financial on 4th Street, your business was called
Mid Penn Insurance.
Thank you. With the sun on the logo. I remember right. that. What if you take your taxes up the street and your accountant right around the corner technically says, this all looks good. You actually have to pay in $2,000 more than you did, and you're $13 billion in debt. What do you do?
Why, you know, this is a quasi-government operation, but, you know, the people who run it have been neglectful, derelict in their duty, because no turnpike should be that. They collect millions, hundreds of million dollars of dollars a year, and I realize that they've did a lot of upgrades. Cost a lot of money to replace all those people with all these readers and so forth. That wasn't cheap and it wasn't free. But you would think at some point there would be a mandate to pay that back, because they're really not a government, you know, part of the Pennsylvania government. They're a separate quasi-government entity, sort of like the post office. So, you know, where's the post office going? Same direction. I mean, the post office is so broken that don't know if you can ever fix it.
Well, let's talk to Chris. We'll get back to the Turnpike. We're trying to save the whole nation here, not just the Turnpike. Chris, thank you so much for wading through the headlines. I very much appreciate, you know, the topics today. We're trying to glue the nation back together. I think you can help us. You go right ahead.
Well, I disagree about the post office. The post office is doing pretty good work. And I kind of hold the Republicans responsible for trying to bankrupt the post office, but now we've rescinded that part where they have to cover 90% of their pension future pension payments by a certain date, and that was no business in the world does that, and it's. That was just an attempt to destroy the post office, because Republicans tend to want it privatized.
But that's not why you called.
What I'm amazed about is the show is you demonize George Soros and Nancy Pelosi, but we shouldn't do demonizations. We should make America great again and not worry about the rest of the world, and the rest of the world's going as bad as we are, so it doesn't matter anyway. But you really think that the whole world economy isn't connected, and you can just have one country that stands on its own while all the others fail? Of course you can. And you go on and on with the conspiracy theories about people trying to control the world, and they try to control the world by having America lead it by, and they do that by trying to weaken America. None of it makes any sense. It's all conspiracy theory tinged. And you go, the Democrats are terrible, terrible, terrible. Oh, and the Republicans are just as bad, but I vote for all of them. I mean,
Chris,
that's such a mess. What kind of thinking are you doing on this show?
Okay. Chris, how about something positive instead of just criticizing? Tell us how you would fix the problem.
Which problem are we talking about?
Any problem you want to talk about.
Oh.
Tell us how you would fix a problem.
Well,
Pick a problem and tell us how to fix it.
Do is stop trying to manipulate the political system in risky ways, like trying to make the argument that state legislatures are all important and they're the only ones who have any power at all to count votes and decide who wins an election. That's just asking for trouble and confusion and panic. Stop threatening to close down the government every year when you're not in power. How about doing that? That doesn't help anybody.
So when was the last time either party decided or threatened to shut down the government? Wasn't last year? Wasn't the year before? How many years has it been?
It's been a few years now, but that's what's created this whole political system where you can't vote on individual budgets. You have to do everything all in a few bills. That created that system.
Well, Congress voted to do it that way. Because
they couldn't pass anything else because of the threats to shut down the government and other manipulations like that.
Okay, so how do we control government spending?
How do you control government spending? Well, you try to you eliminate pork projects for and you take an honest look at the military, where a lot of the military are just things are just pork projects. You pass laws that give the military weapons that they are not requesting and don't really want. That's happened the last few budgets.
Chris, let's get out of a specific thing and start to talk about, we'll get back to the general view. We certainly do have a U.S. Supreme Court that it has no choice, really, but to be making too many decisions. The legislature doesn't do them.
The court has fixed a system where they have more power by pretending to give it to the states.
Okay. So what should we do?
What happens is they have to decide on every individual thing whether it goes to the states or not.
Chris, the U.S. Constitution only gives the federal government specific powers and specifically says everything else is reserved for the states.
Or the people.
Well, we are the people, but the states. So,
so we're going to make America stronger by making it into 48 different states.
Okay, let's skip that.
That'll really make America stronger. Way to go!
Last time I knew, we had 50 states.
Yes.
But anyway, all the way back to what we should do, Chris. What should we do in the U.S.?
Well, I suppose we'll stop demonizing each other, except when it's deserved.
If we only hadn't said that two times earlier, I'd say he was on to something. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, but you continue the demonization with your conspiracy theory.
Right. Yeah, I didn't say that we practice what we hope to preach, but what else should we do in this nation? You certainly have thought a lot about this.
Make it easier to vote, not harder.
Okay.
I think voting from home by mail is a wonderful system.
Right, me too.
I don't know why you're against it. Why are you against it, Mark?
Well, I'm not against it. I vote by mail from home, and but
do you cheat?
No. But let me get back to sort of think big for a moment. Unfortunately, in the U.S., thanks to President Trump and other people, the voting by mail has become suspect, and it's become sort of entrenched in people's mind that that's
all voting becomes suspect because of Trump.
Right, yeah, right. No argument there. But this is one of the things. So I'm just saying, let's suppose in order to restore order in this country and confidence in the citizenry and elections, that Mark Lawrence has to compromise a little bit. I'm just saying that I personally, as one individual voter, I would be willing to vote on Election Day to go back to that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's necessarily a good idea.
If you can stop election manipulation so that people have to wait 10 hours in line.
So, Chris,
that would be a dilemma. You can't do that because states control the individual places where people vote and how they do it, and that's 50 states again.
So, Chris,
you can't pass a federal law that affects that because, I don't know, it'd be state in it. Federal interference, and somehow that's bad.
So, Chris, if a ballot comes in the mail and it's not properly marked or it's not properly signed, what should we do with that ballot? Should we throw that ballot out?
Well, you have two choices. You can try to verify it if you have time and you have a system for doing it. Or you can just throw it out, I guess.
Okay.
But if certain people are going to make mistakes, and especially the federal court, the state court in Pennsylvania, what ruled somewhat reasonably that if it's a non-essential thing, like putting the date down on it, it seems fairly inessential. Right.
So if there's no date on it,
you could recount it anyway.
If there's no date on it and it arrives 10 days after the election, should you count that?
Well, what date are you talking about?
Well, there's no date on the ballot and the ballot arrives 10 days after the election day.
Is it postmarked? Is it postmarked with a date, or are you talking about the date that's supposed to be written on it by the person?
The person who signed it supposed to date it.
Suppose they put it on the wrong date.
Let's say they didn't date it.
Are you going to not count that, too? Are you looking for ways to not count
dates? No, I'm just asking you what your opinion is on. So what happens if you have a one that wasn't dated and it gets there 10 days after the election day? What do you do with that ballot?
Well, if there's no evidence it was mailed before election day, I would think you would count it. You would not count it. But if you, I don't know. I thought they usually got postmarked.
Well, they do, but that could be
before that. Then I don't see the problem.
I wouldn't think putting postmarks, relying on postmarks, is fraud-free because the postmark is an incidental thing that is very important. It's part of the postal system, and people use it all the time.
But are you just trying to get rid of fraudulent?
I think that every...
Or are you trying to get rid of anything that you can nitpick to get rid of a one?
No, every legitimate vote should be counted. Every legitimate vote should be counted. How do we do that?
Well, first of all, I assume that there aren't too many people who are registered to vote that are non-existent.
Well, Pennsylvania have had over 40,000 dead people on the rolls. How do we know that some of them didn't vote?
Well, if you have a way to eliminate the dead people, then I'd say do it. But it seems like when they eliminate dead people, they go by obituaries, and anybody by a certain name gets eliminated. If they have the name in the same town or something.
Right, we got to fix this.
Then you're doing just damage, and you're not fixing the problem at all.
All right, Chris,
so
thank you.
Unless you have a good system for eliminating the dead people,
Chris,
that's fine. But how many dead people actually voted? Did they what? They found
Chris, I got to move on.
Four in Pennsylvania, I believe.
All right, stop. We got to move on. Thank you so much for participating in this. If you have more ideas, feel free to email them in. You can call back too. We'll give you more time if there's time.
Well, I don't know what you're really trying to do. You described an initial thing in big terms, and now you got me down talking about
right. Yeah, that's
stuff.
It's complicated.
You have some experts to do that.
Okay, we got you. All right. Thank you, sir.
You don't have opinion people calling in on radio shows doing that.
All right, much appreciated. Bye. Thank you, sir. Yep, really, really appreciate it. Thanks for participating. All right, we're going to take more comers. We got one coming in and one is waiting. We are talking about fixing the U.S., for lack of a more specific term. What can we do? Talking past each other. I just enjoyed doing that to Chris. I didn't listen to what he said. I just came back with my little talking points, so I am guilty as charged. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, well, we have asked for folks to participate in our conversation. We really aren't doing anything important on the show today except saving the United States. And Chris was 100% right. We got a little more micro than macro, and let's kind of stick with the big picture. All right, I hit the button that says next, and Dan is on the line. Thanks for holding, sir. Thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, what America lost was a moral compass. And I bring this up occasionally. I guess people get tired of hearing it, but it is true. As I grew up in the late 40s, 50s, we had a moral compass. We knew right from wrong. And it was based much on scripture. We all had that same moral compass, basically. I know there's other beliefs, but most of us had that same moral values in that period. Along came the revolutionary 60s, and it came out, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. And that period, we switched, quickly change into all morality.
Yeah,
you do what feels good to you.
Dan.
If it feels good, do it.
Let me stop you there. I think this is great history. There's no argument about that, and you could be right 100%. But let's talk about solutions, okay? We cannot turn back the hands of time. You cannot tell people they are no longer free to enjoy their sexuality. It is very difficult to get people to go back into the mainstream churches, but a lot of people have a super moral compass without faith being part of their lives, so let's just stipulate that. What can we do today to glue our country back together?
There's no way to glue it back together without a moral compass, without having a solid moral compass, not what you think's moral and what I think's moral. It has to be based on a solid morality, and you know where that's found.
Okay, so let me stop you there. We're talking about gluing the whole nation back together, particularly with a focus on Washington, D.C., and the Supreme Court and the president. In what way has immorality, or this lack of a moral compass, I guess, is the issue, in what way has that influenced President Biden and President Trump and the Congress and the courts that we don't have that now? In what way could returning a moral compass to the nation's capital glue us back together? I mean, I could still argue with people even though I have high moral values or name call or something like that.
Yeah, well, we're not on this, we're far from being on the same page. Now, in the 50s, my mom and dad, I'm sure, voted for Nixon, but yet Kennedy won. And Kennedy was a different Democrat than the Democrats you have today. He did some things that weren't great in the White House. We all know his reputation, but yet he was a patriot for America. And we lost that kind of patriotism because of our moral compass. And yeah, Kennedy, and I don't remember Mom and Dad ever complaining about Kennedy.
Okay, but
and
today...
he's one of the last presidents of the Democratic Party that loved America.
All right. Well, that's false anyway. But what about?
That is true.
Okay, that's fine. We'll stipulate it's true. But let's
check with John. Anybody?
Let's get back to present day.
Biden is not for America.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so he's a bad person.
You can't convince me that he loves America. He loves the global economy.
But what can we do to fix America today? Skip, don't say the word Biden. Don't say the word Kennedy. What can we do to fix America today?
That what we need is a God-sent revival.
Okay,
us back to truth. Because my truth don't matter. Your truth don't matter. The real truth is what matters. And I found out during the last elections for Trump, it was the basic moral people that voted for Trump. It was the people with Christian values.
All right.
And so the people that are basically becoming to be hated, the born-again group of Christians.
All right, I got to stop you there.
We put Trump in office because he did present values, even though I know you people say despicable.
Saying that. We're not saying that anymore, Dan. We appreciate it. I'll give you a couple seconds to wrap up.
He brought he had values, abortion. He had the values that were important to bring America back.
Okay, perfect. That's an excellent exclamation point. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Moral compass. I think that has got to be part of it. There cannot be anybody who spends some time on their knees, and if you don't spend time on your knees, you're never going to be a good leader in this country. One of our listeners says, good grief, if we could all realize that time doesn't stop progress, progress is real. Anyone who pushes against change and evolution is causing trouble and pushing away those of us who have open minds and see progress. Another listener says, that's specifically Mike Earle. Thoughts on what you've heard so far? Are you ready for a caller?
I think we'll take another caller.
And then we'll take a break.
We got a couple more waiting. So,
Mike, go right ahead. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Dan with what he was saying in many respects, but I believe he was just pointing out one of the symptoms. And my theory on what's happening right now, and I'm going to go back and just quote Barack Obama when he said, we're going to fundamentally change this country. Okay? Now, he believed that. He was correct. And I believe there's a group of people that want to basically fundamentally change this country. And what I mean by that is they want to transition us into something that we are not right now, not even close to it. And it's been going on a long time. They're hell-bent on basically destroying the dollar, destroying the economy, destroying basically the structure of this country, creating everyone so that they're equal. And then some of your other callers mentioned the control situation. In other words, to be able to control us through the energy, through the food, and all that business. And I think it really goes, and I'm not really up on the term one world government, but I do think that that could be part of it. And I just think that, you know, when you said, how are we going to get people back into the churches? Well, I know that right after 9/11, there was a big surge in people going into faith-based institutions. But, I hate to say it, but I think we're past the point of any return. Not that I'm, completely negative. I'm going to live my life, try to do the best I can, help other people, help my family. But I just don't like the handwriting that's on the wall.
Okay. Anything you can think of that will help us get back on track? Anything you can think of that will help us get back on track?
Well, think about this. Yesterday, I brought up on your show where there was two events that involved murders. And the race or the political party affiliations was not mentioned. And my belief is that the mainstream media ignored that fact because one person was a black that was a perpetrator and the other perpetrator was a Democrat. Had it been reversed. So the media is basically, I don't know whether they're being controlled by the same people that are controlling our government right now, but they're playing the game with the people that want to weaken us. And you go back to the movie Lenny, Remember, Lenny says, if your wife walks in and catches you with another woman in bed, you just tell her that's not what you saw. And then just keep telling her that, because sooner or later, she's going to want to believe it. And I do believe that there are a lot of people like me in this country that believe that we are being destroyed on purpose, the fabric of this country. But there's just many, many, many people that they do not want to believe it. And they want to believe the narratives that they're told. They want to believe that, you know, the old, you know, America will always recover and all that business. And I just think that if we do not start electing people, and again, this is where I'm going to go off the rails for many people. I'm going to say they had the same vision of Donald Trump. Now, I may have been completely fooled by him, and he may have been part of this big scheme himself. I don't know. But I think that Donald Trump wasn't really a leader. He was a follower. He was following people that believe like I do, and there was a lot of them in the country at that time. And the left got lax, and he won, and that's why they had to get rid of him.
All right, we got
you. So that's my summation. I have no answers. I just know that we're in big trouble.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mike. Come up with some answers and call us back, please.
Okay.
All right. One of our listeners says, recent conspiracy theories have come true, but you are too blind to see it. So you're right.
Well, Annette, you know, the problem we have starts with Congress. And the problem we have in Congress is we have the same people that are there for 30 or 40 or almost 50 years. We've got a senator who's over 90 years old. And, you know, they get so entrenched and so obligated to special interests that they don't even serve the people they represent anymore. We really need to have term limits. I see we have an email to that effect. But Congress is not going to impose limits on themselves. The people are going to have to do it. Convention of states is probably the only option that I see on the horizon right now. 18 or 19 states have already passed the resolution, but the people are going to have to step up and say, okay, listen, you can only serve so long and then go home, because what we originally had in this country were citizen legislators. They went to Washington early in January, and by the end of March, they left and went home. And
like in Maryland, they meet for a couple of months. They have to pay their own
half
expenses.
Half of the states do that.
Well, that's
Pennsylvania is an outlier. We're not in the majority. But so what we need to have is a realistic term limits for people in Congress, and that's the only way you're going to fix it, because the longer they're in, the more jaded they are and the more powerful they become, so you can't get them out.
All right. One of our listeners says on this topic, the email you mentioned, so the federal government dictates when pilots and Bureau of Prisons employees have to retire, but it's okay for those fossils to work in Congress, okay? You and I are fossils, I guess. All right, we're going to take...
You're not yet.
Well, I'm hardening. All right. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars is what they stand for, but they also stand for great behind-the-scenes employees who do a fantastic job. And guess what? Of course, they have over 100 of them, but fewer than 200, and they'd like to get back up to 200 workers. And the way that they do that is to hire you. They're looking for entry level and experienced people. Places you could work would include the quick lane, light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame, alignment, and towing departments. They've been hiring people for 107 years, and there have been some folks that were there for 50 years. But I'll tell you what, they would just love you to join the legacy at the Sunbury Motor Company. SunburyMotors.com, a great place to start. Talk to Jeff or Ernie or Austin or Alphonse or Jason or Chris, and they'll say, yeah, all that stuff Mark says about the F-250 is true, but the best part is that it's got backing with the Sunbury Motor Company. You're going to get a reasonable price. They're still a volume dealer. They're still discounting vehicles like the Kia Stinger. It is a sports sedan like crazy, ultra small, all-wheel drive, about $50,000, about, I would guesstimate, 25 miles to the gallon or so average, so you're going to hit 30 on the highway, but you're not going to want to. It's going to drive like it has two engines in it. And one of them is almost a 4-liter turbo, which a lot of bigger minivans have that in them. So it is just a ton of motor and suspension and low, sleek. But of course, it's got all the warning signals and bells and whistles to keep you safe and keep in your lane and, you know, rear cross warning and all that sort of thing. So it's just a fantastic vehicle. The Kia Stinger, Sunbury Motors will give you all the answers that you need to the questions I just raised, sunburymotors.com. All right, we're going to wrap up with two callers and a bunch of emails that have come in. We're going to look at those when we come back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, we got some emails, and we got two callers waiting. One of our listeners says, one massive step towards fixing the U.S. would be having term limits in Congress and the Senate. But sadly, I know that's a dream that won't happen, and that is precisely the problem. A large majority of our politicians are there for themselves only and have totally lost touch with the fact that they were there to work for us. Holding a political seat should never be a lifelong career. Convention
absolutely.
Of states.
I agree with that 100%.
And actually, it's not impossible that that could happen. Harry, you're on the mark. Thank you. You waited a long time, so thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
I know this is overstating the obvious, but the term limits is a big detriment to getting anything done in this country, because now it becomes disturbing a different master than we the people. We the people is a quaint idea that unfortunately is pretty much gone by the wayside. When you think back to when we started, you had guys like Adams and Paine and all of the founding fathers would go from anywhere from Georgia to Maine down to Philadelphia on horse and buggy or walking in some cases, and having a price on their head where they, if they had been found, they could have been killed by the, executed by the British for treason. And they still came together and forged a republic together. Now we're at the mercy of what Smith, GlaxoKline, and Merck, and Argo, and Sunoco want. And we have become the worship of the almighty dollar, paying for every single decision that's made in this country. Going back to what Dan said, he's very right about the moral compass. And I am a devout follower of my faith. I go to church often. I participate in other things other than just Sunday Mass. But we're not just talking about the religious end of it. We're talking about the fact that the morals of this country is what can you do for me? And everybody wants to be right. Nobody wants to do right. And until we can change that mindset, it really doesn't matter what any of the rest of the accomplishments are. Nothing will change.
Right. It's the mission and the mindset. All right. Thank you so much, Harry. Thank you very much for checking in. John, reaction?
I think that's a great observation. You know, when moral people think about other people, okay, how is this going to affect my family? How is this going to affect my neighbors? How is this going to affect other people? And moral people make decisions not just based on what's good for them, but what's good for those people that are around them. And what we have now is me first, You know, I'm the only one that matters. If I'm happy, I don't care how the rest of you feel. If I hurt you, it's okay. And then, of course, the next step is, well, if I don't get my way, I'll just pull out this pistol and start shooting. So the problem we have is that years ago, families taught their children that you're not the most important person in the world. Every baby thinks they are. You know, every baby.
That's how we start out. Well, it's human nature.
It's human nature. So every baby thinks they're the most important person in the world, and parents have to teach that child. You know, you're loved and you're appreciated, and we think you're wonderful, but you're not the most important person in the world. You treat other people with dignity and respect, and they'll treat you with dignity and respect. And that's what I think a lot of these people are talking about. That's what we've lost, the dignity and respect that we owe to one another. And I mean we owe to one another. It's not something that, you know, if you're going to have a civil society, dignity and respect are owed to other people. And so when I start to disrespect you publicly, that just leads to more of the same.
So it isn't coincidence that our republic is crumbling and 50% of the nation is nuns. When they check off on a box, whether they're religious or not, they click off none. That's not coincidence.
It's not coincidence.
All right. One of our listeners sends us a note. Says, too much money in too few hands is the big problem. Raise taxes 70% on corporations and big businesses. It worked before. It'll work again. We didn't have debt. People had jobs and cheap health insurance. Wall Street is a big, big problem. I know John disagreed because of the business he was in, but that is a big, big problem. A CEO making 500 times his employees' pay is not good. Another listener says,
I'd just like to say,
oh, please.
I partially agree with that.
Okay.
I mean,
big business
has way too much influence in our government today.
All right. Another listener says, hi, Mark. Please let Dan know I am a Christian, and I consider myself to have a good moral compass and values. I did not vote for Donald Trump in the past election. He needs to stop generalizing groups of people. My opinion is everybody that calls into your show just whines and complains. Stop complaining about problems within your country and do something proactive to make positive helps. And another listener says, one step we can take to fix our nation is to dismantle the Washington power structure and slay the behemoth that is the U.S. government. Move the Department of the Interior to Colorado, the Department of Energy to Texas, and the Department of Education to Wisconsin and so forth, and make a congressman a part-time job, yes, with term limits. This idea has been floated around. By decentralizing the D.C. power structure, it would reduce the size of the departments and the government overall. A good first step in getting our government accountable and back in the hands of the people. What do you think? That's a great idea. Great ideas all, I think.
Yes, that's great ideas. I subscribe to all of those. I've articulated probably all of those over the years.
All right, Joseph, you get a couple minutes. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you for so much time. Yes, I appreciate Dan and the other callers on their answer to this question. Now, I don't have the answer myself, but I know where I found the answer to the question. It's not the term limit.
There we go.
It's not taxes. It's not in crooked politicians or good politicians.
It's Yahweh.
I think you made the comment, Mark, that when Dan was speaking, that we can't turn back the clock now since, you know, the genie's been out of the bottle with same-sex marriage and abortion and all these things. You know what I mean? How can we go back to that 50s mentality or the 40s mentality? And you're kind of right in a sense. And that's the big problem. That is the problem. And here's the answer. It's not my answer, but this is from our Heavenly Father. In Chronicles, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he'd heal their land. Our land needs healing, just as it did in the Civil War with Abraham Lincoln. And he had a day of prayer and so forth, and other people were praying then. And Yahweh intervened, and it takes an intervention of the Almighty. And this is what we must do. And then he will heal our lands. He'll put it in the hearts of people to do the right thing.
All right.
And bring conviction to people that are on the fringes of humanity. men marrying men and women marrying other women and killing unborn babies and changing their sex from a man to a woman and all this ridiculous stuff that's going on in our society, which has brought this cancer on our land.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Joseph. I knew you were going to say that. Anything else to add?
I think that we've had a lot of good conversation, but it's just a start.
Well, we'll have it back. Ben will be back next week. We're going to argue about Republicans and Democrats, but then I'll have you back in, and we'll get back to fixing the nation once and for all.
It'll be a pleasure, Mark.
Thank you, sir. John Shipman with us today. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Center, our producer. This is WKOK Sunbury.